So first, David Cameron is coming under increasing pressure to allow into the country children who've travelled on their own to Europe, apparently to escape the war in Syria. The government has said it will accept from camps 3,000 vulnerable children out of the Middle East and North Africa, but the figure would exclude unaccompanied children who have already made the journey to Europe. That's the crucial thing. This is on top of 20,000 Syrians David Cameron says will be allowed into the UK by 2020. Ministers argue that if they admit children to the UK who are in Europe already, that will encourage people smugglers to send more youngsters on a dangerous journey unaccompanied by adults. But government critics say we have a moral duty to give these children a safe refuge. They claim we need a modern version of the Kinder transport movement from the Second World War, under which we admitted thousands of Jewish children fleeing Nazi Germany. The government is trying to find a compromise that would avoid a defeat in the Commons next week. And we go first to Lord Alfred Dubs, who is a Labour peer in the House of Lords, who's proposed an amendment to the immigration bill. Lord Dubs, what exactly do you want to see?
Well, the amendment is to compel the government to take unaccompanied child refugees who are now in Europe. And that amendment is going to the Commons next Monday, and I hope there'll be a positive response from the government.
And any number that you've put on that?
No, I had an amendment originally which was defeated in the Commons. That had 3,000. I don't have a number now, but you have to set that against an estimated 95,000 unaccompanied child refugees in Europe, and 10,000 of them are supposed to have gone missing, according to Interpol. So there's a pretty serious situation.
OK, you came to the UK yourself on the Kinder transport, which I referred to. So do fill us in on your history.
Well, can I just say that the case for the amendment does not depend on my history. It doesn't depend upon the emotional background at all. My history is that I came to Britain on a Kinder transport in 1939 as an unaccompanied child refugee from Prague in Czechoslovakia.
And you were fleeing Germany?
Fleeing Nazi Germany, yes.
And so just tell us a bit more about that journey.
Well, it was organised by a wonderful man, Sir Nicholas Winton, who died just recently at the age of 106. He organised the Kinder transport from Prague. Well, I was in Prague. I was at school. The Germans came in March 1939. We had to tear a picture of President Beneš out of our school books, stick in a picture of Hitler. And eventually, my mother got me on a Kinder transport, took me to the station. German soldiers with swastikas on the platform. I was put on the train. I was 6 years old. And the train went off, an interminably long journey, got to the Dutch frontier. The children cheered, the older ones, because they knew we were out of reach of the Nazis. But I didn't understand what was happening. I just knew it was important, but didn't know why. And then to Harwich, and then the Hook of Holland. Hook of Holland, then Harwich, and then Liverpool Street.
Right. And Fraser Nelson, listening to that, editor of The Spectator, it's. Do you see a parallel, Fraser, between the Kinder transport in the 30s and this situation now?
Well, there certainly is a parallel, and I think Lord Dubs is absolutely right. We should have a new Kinder transport, but I think it should run further. Rather than taking refugees from Europe, I think we should go right to the Middle East. And this is exactly what David Cameron is promising. He's saying yes to 3,000 child refugees, but he's saying, but let's not take them from Europe. Let's take them from the countries right beside Syria, where there are so many camps. There are millions of people who are displaced, millions who need our help. And if we need to prioritise help, then let's rescue people from Bashar al-Assad. Let's not rescue them from the French and Swedish authorities.
Lord Dubs, if they are already in the EU, they surely are safe, aren't they?
Well, I don't think they are. That's the point. Look, I'm not against taking more from the region. I think that's a good move, and what the government are doing is fine. Could do a bit more of it. Look, we've got a large number of unaccompanied child refugees. They're anywhere in Europe. They may be in Calais, they may be in Greece, sleeping at stations. They're in danger of criminality. They're in danger of being lured into prostitution. It's not right that young people in a modern continent like Europe should just be lying there in the streets and whatever.
Fraser, the practicality of it maybe is that they're not safe in other parts of the EU, however bizarre that sounds.
Well, it does sound bizarre, and it is horrific. The EU authorities simply cannot cope. They've taken on far more child refugees than they know how to accommodate. There are terrible stories, in France and in Sweden, in Stockholm Station as well. But one of the things that they're finding is that relatively few of these refugees are actually from Syria. About one in seven are from Syria. The majority are from Afghanistan. Then you get other countries like Eritrea, Iraq, Somalia. There are child refugees coming here fleeing poverty as well as fleeing war. So you can't really actually say that the European child refugees are all fleeing war. A small minority of them are, but a lot of them, they all need help. That's absolutely true. But what David Cameron is saying is, let's take the ones who need help the most. Let's take the ones who the UN designate as being at risk, and let's not give the people traffickers a game to play. Because right now, the evil that we're confronting is not Hitler anymore. We've got people like Assad, but we are confronting the evil of people smuggling. Now, this is a new, very modern, and incredibly pernicious evil that rests upon being able to say to people, look, the EU, the European asylum system, if you get to Europe, we can find you a home. Now, under the old system, you see, the problem is, we are right now running the refugees today on a system that's 50 years out of date, a system that was designed for this after the Second World War. We're saying, yes, if you can make it to Britain, we might consider giving you asylum. But if you do that, you're basically encouraging people to go into the sealed cargo containers to make all sorts of terrible, often lethal journeys. And David Cameron is saying, no, this is the 21st century. Let's take them straight from the camps where we know that they're at most risk.
Lord Dubs, this will encourage people smuggling, Fraser says.
Well, there's really very little evidence for that. Can I just pick up one thing?
Sorry, don't just, with respect, brush it off like that.
No, I mean,
it's a very, very serious thing he's just said.
Well, I think there's very little evidence to suggest that it would act as a magnet. And you have to set that off against a dire situation that these child refugees are in Europe at the moment. Now, look, can I just say one thing, though? There's a difference between migrants and refugees, and I think Fraser's got them slightly merged. People who are refugees are ones who've got a well-founded fear of persecution on grounds of race, religion, threat of torture, threat of death through war or whatever. And they come under United Nations Convention. And they're the ones that I'm talking about in my amendment. I'm not talking about ordinary migrants. I'm talking about people who are actually refugees fleeing for safety.
And children as well. And here I must mention Denmark, which has decided it's going to start testing to see whether the children really are children. And you'll know that they've done tests on, he may not approve of this at all, but their teeth and their bones, and they discover that 72% of those claiming to be children who came to Denmark were over 18.
Well, I didn't know the details of that. I understand some of that goes on. But look, with the large number that we have in Europe, there are plenty of them who are young, plenty of them who are not anywhere near the age that you're talking about, and they're the ones that should be covered by the amendment and by the policy.
Well, they tested 282 refugees, and 72% were not children.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean
they're pretending to be children.
That doesn't mean that's the case for the whole of Europe. That may be in Denmark. But in any case, with the large number, we're talking about 95,000, there are surely thousands among them who are younger, who are vulnerable, and who are in danger, and who are refugees.
And maybe, Fraser, this is one of these tests where once we start arguing, we've already lost the argument. This is one where there's a moral duty, as people say, to take them and not start bickering.
Absolutely, there is a moral duty, and it's a real test of a nation as to how you respond here. And that, I'm a critic of David Cameron in many areas, but here he is saying our moral duty doesn't start and end in Europe. We've got a moral duty to the children who are in the Middle East. The children who are out of their lives matter just as much as those who are being mishandled by the European authorities right now. And Britain is not just giving more than any other country in Europe. We're giving more to Syria than the rest of Europe put together, with the exception of Germany. I mean, David Cameron could not do more. He's worked out that, sure, we can take a few thousand refugees here, but there are millions, not hundreds of thousands, but millions of child refugees needing urgent help right now. And the best way to give that help is by taking aid and to take it to the neighbouring countries where they're in their greatest concentration, and then making sure that the ones we bring here are the ones who are properly assessed as being genuine refugees, genuinely at help. I am saying, yes, let's take 3,000, but as the Prime Minister says, let's take those who we know to be genuinely in need.
Thank you very much, both of you. Lord Alfred Dubs, Labour peer, who's proposed the amendment, and Fraser Nelson, editor of The Spectator, who doesn't want this particular suggestion, wants a different one. Okay.